Hello, everyone, and happy Sunday evening. It's good to be here with you. So we are here for the Seven Steps to Awakening, and we're starting with quote 777, which actually I started quote 777 last week. I did the journal entries A and B that go with 777, and then tonight I will begin with 777C in my journal. One thing that I thought was very, very interesting tonight when I was loading up my journal is I noticed that 777A and 777B were written in my journal on May 10th, 2014. And 777C and D were February 25th, 2015. So about 9 months later. I found that to be very, very interesting. You know, it's not that I haven't taken long breaks from the Seven Steps to Awakening before. I have. You know, like I took long breaks to write the minister preparation program. I took long breaks to write the minister preparation program facilitator guides. And now I'm kind of taking a long break to write the tips for the gentle healing group. So it's kind of like, it's not that I give up contemplation, that I take long breaks from contemplation. It's just that I'm contemplating something else in that time. So I have taken long breaks from the Seven Steps to Awakening before. However, to take a long break from May of 2014 to February of 2015, to take that long of a break and then to decide to continue with the same quote as I was on, I found that to be pretty interesting. So tonight, we're going to look at 777C, which is where I returned to quote 777 after, you know, that very, very long break. Before I get started with that, what I am going to do is play a song. And I'm kind of in the mood for Disney. I don't know why. and I think what I have a couple of Disney songs right here in front of me, but I think I'm going to go ahead and play this one from Cinderella. This is Impossible, and then It's Possible, right? It starts off Impossible, and by the end of the song, It's Possible. So here's Impossible and It's Possible from Cinderella.
Impossible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage. Impossible for a plain country bumpkin and a prince to join in marriage. And four white mice will never be four white horses. Such vulnerable and filthy deed, of course, is impossible. But the world is full of zanies and fools who don't believe in sensible rules and won't believe what sensible people say. And because these daft and dewy-eyed dopes keep building up impossible hopes, impossible things are happening every day. Impossible. Impossible.
I officially wish
and wish and wish all those things I said about the pumpkin and the mice and the rats.
Impossible.
Just the same, I'm wishing it.
Impossible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage. Impossible for a plain country bumpkin and a prince to join in marriage. And four white mice will never be four white horses. They will. Such fol-de-rol and fiddle-de-dee, of course, is impossible. But the world is full of zanies and fools who don't believe in sensible rules and won't believe what sensible people say. And because these daft and dewy-eyed dopes keep building up impossible.
832 years old.
Oh, but where are you going?
What? I'm going to take you to the ball.
Oh. Oh, but I've nothing to wear.
Who says you haven't? Look at yourself.
Oh, how beautiful. Come on now, the ball will be over before you get there.
I'll tell you what that song reminded me of as I was listening to it just now. It reminded me of something I said this morning in the weekly gathering when I was reading from A Course in Miracles, What is Forgiveness? I mentioned that one of the lines I have underlined, it's actually a phrase within a sentence, is certain of your ultimate success. It says, do nothing then and let forgiveness show you what to do. Through him who is your guide, your savior, and protector, strong in hope and certain of your ultimate success. And I commented that all of us, it seems like at one time or another, have that feeling that for some reason we can't awaken. That, you know, it's like everybody else can, but not me. You know, like it's never going to happen for me. And I mentioned that as we practice awareness, watching awareness, as we pay more and more attention to that true self that we are, what arises is this knowing that awakening will occur because the true self is right here. You know, it's just right here. It's what we are. As the Sufis would say, it's as close as our juggler, right? as our juggler vein. It's as close as our juggler vein. Or as some people say, as close as our breath. And the truth is, it's even closer. Yeah, even closer than either of those. So this idea that's in the song is, you know, you start off, it's impossible, right? I will never awaken. It's impossible. But as we practice forgiveness more, as we practice awareness, watching awareness, that attitude shifts to it. It's not only possible, but you know, there's this certainty of our ultimate success. So that's what the song reminded me of tonight. So let me read our quote. 777, which sounds like a good number to me. This is the quote. And you may, if you were here last week, it'll sound familiar. Yes, awakening is inevitable, Kathy. Yes. Okay, so 777. Outward attachment arises through sensual objects, inward attachment through personality. Only he who, resting in the eternal, is free from passion, is able to give them up. Only he who, resting in the eternal, is free from passion, is able to give them up. So now we're going to go and look at my contemplation of this same quote when I returned to it many, many months later. Again, I first started looking at it in May of 2014, and then I came back to it again in February of 2015. So here is, I forgot to give you, I don't know if you all ever read along, but I forgot to give you the link. So let me give you the link in case you do like to read along. There's the link to the journal entry, 777C. So here we go. The first idea that arises as an inward attachment that comes from the personality is responsible. Regina is responsible. But is this really my attachment? Is it true that Regina is responsible? She gets things done. But what am I? I feel I want to look more at this. What am I? Before I claim any more attachments as mine. All right, I can see exactly what's happening here. So let me share what's going on here. The mind has attachments. So the mind may be attached to the identity that I am responsible. The mind may be attached to the identity that I am busy. The mind may be attached to I am mother, I am teacher, I am dog owner, I am growing older, I am, you know, just whatever you can think of. The mind is attached to all of that. And so what started to happen in this particular contemplation was I started to look for my attachments, but suddenly it dawned on me that these are not my attachment. These are the mind's attachments, and that I'm not the mind. It began to dawn on me that I am the awareness that is simply present, and that I have no attachments. And that if I continue to claim, you know, oh, I'm attached to this, and I'm attached to this, and I need to let go of this attachment, if I continue to claim that, then what I'm also doing is I'm equating my identity to the mind. And I started to see that itself as an error. And I thought, wow, instead of equating my identity to the mind and claiming its attachments as my attachments, maybe what I should do is look more carefully at what I am and see if there are any attachments there, you know, which of course there aren't. So again, 77C says, the first idea that arises as an inward attachment that comes from the personality is responsible. Regina is responsible. But is that really my attachment? It is true that Regina is responsible. She gets things done. But what am I? I feel I want to look more at this. What am I? Before I claim any more attachments as mine. So moving on then to 77D, and let me go ahead and read the quote again. Outward attachment arises through sensual objects, inward attachment through personality. Only he who, resting in the eternal, is free from passion, is able to give them up. So 77D says, I feel that to believe I have attachments is to believe I am the personality. To believe I am the personality and to claim that I do not have attachments is foolhardy. Whenever attention is projected into the personality with the sense, this is me, there are attachments. Personality and attachments go hand in hand. But do I have to believe that I am the personality? No, I do not have to believe that. I feel that instead of projecting my attention into the personality as me and then looking for my attachments, It is better to use time to become clear on what I am. So one thing that's really interesting here is that the personality and attachments go hand in hand. And we could also say that the personality and preferences go hand in hand. You know, for example, if we were all at the ice cream store, is there anybody here that doesn't like ice cream? Do we have anybody that says, you know, I actually wouldn't even go to the ice cream store with you? Every now and then there is somebody who's like, ice cream's not that important. But most of the people I meet like ice cream, right? So if we were to go to the ice cream store and we're each to select our ice cream, we would select, you know, different ice creams, right? Because the personality has different preferences. And that's just the way it is with a personality, right? It's not like awakening occurs and those preferences die for the personality. The personality is still going to prefer whatever the personality prefers. And it could be that there are even some, I don't know if the word attachment is exactly right, but I'm going to go ahead and use it now, that there are some, maybe it's just still more preferences or habits, or, you know, some people might even call it karma more than attachments. But there are certain things that go with the personality, like the Regina personality enjoys hiking, and the Regina personality enjoys going off-road riding in her 4Runner Toyota, right? Other personalities aren't into that. You know, other personalities are into other things and will spend their time differently. In that way, personalities are kind of like flowers, right? Flowers are different. They look different. They smell different. They blossom differently. Some blossom very quickly. Some very, very slowly. Some seem to open and then close and open and then close in the blossoming process. So personalities and these preferences or this karma all go hand in hand. But what about what we truly are? When we sit practicing awareness, watching awareness, and we look at what we truly are, the background of awareness, we don't find any preferences or any attachments there, do we? All of those things go with the personality. They're part of the personality packet. So what occurred to me, although I think that sometimes the work of letting go of attachments is very, very useful, right? What occurred to me is instead of letting go of attachments one at a time, it might be more useful to spend my time letting go of the idea that I'm that personality that has attachments. It might be a better use of time to look and discover the true self. So again, this journal entry says, I feel that to believe I have attachments is to believe I am the personality. To believe I am the personality and claim that I do not have attachments is foolhardy. Whenever attention is projected into the personality with the sense this is me, there are attachments. Personality and attachments go hand in hand. But do I have to believe that I am the personality? No, I do not have to believe that. I feel that instead of projecting my attention into the personality as me and then looking for my attachments, it is better to use time to become clear on what I am. So that was the end of my contemplation of 777. And that again was in February of 2015, and it looks like I went to 778 in May of 2015. So imagine that. In May of 2014, I was contemplating 777. I finished it in February of 2015, and then a year later, in May of 2015, I got to the next quote. So I'm certain that I was working on MPP during this time, and I believe, looking at the years, I was working on, probably by this time, the MPP facilitator guides. But this is where I was spending my contemplation time. So there were long, long breaks in my Seven Steps journal. But when I returned, I always returned to right where I left off. So let's look at quote 778. There is no other danger for him who knows but this wavering as to the self's real nature. Thence arises delusion, and thence selfish personality. Thence comes bondage, and therefrom sorrow. So again, this is saying the only real danger is to not know who we are. Right? That's, you know, in kind of a fancy wording way, that's what this quote is saying. The only real danger that faces us is the danger of forgetting who we are. So let me read this again. There is no danger for him who knows but this wavering as to the self's real nature. Thence rises delusion, and thence selfish personality. Thence comes bondage, and therefrom sorrow. Kathy has written, thence we are ignorant. Yeah. Both appropriate and funny, Kathy. Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and look and see what I wrote in the journal on 778A. It says, I do well to remain clear on the difference between the ego self, which pretends to be me, and what I am. And yet, I do not remain clear on the difference between the ego self and what I am. While contemplating, quote, 777, I forgot. I began to look for my attachments. Does the true self have attachments? If I know the true self, I can abide as the self instead of thinking I am the I thought in mind. So it's interesting because, again, you know, I started contemplating quote 777 a year before in May of 2014. Finished it a few months before this in February of 2015. And now in May of 2015, although I'm on quote 778, I'm in a way still looking at quote 777 to the point that it's even mentioned in the journal entry. And again, I'm looking at that idea that if I think I have attachments that need to be released, I'm confused about who I am, since I am ignorant, right? And I'm realizing that all that really needs to happen is that I need to be clear on who I am and stay there in that clarity. I don't need to, one by one, give up a myriad of attachments. And Lord knows how many attachments there are. I don't think, you know, I think that when we find a few, I think we have barely scratched the surface of the number of attachments that the personality mind has. If we had to go through and dig out each attachment one at a time and look at it, well, my guess is we would never finish, because my guess is if we did the work at just that level, at the level of the personality mind, as soon as we dropped one attachment, the mind would pick up another. You know, it's kind of like throwing a, it's kind of like having a deck of cards in your hand and you're taking a card out of that deck and tossing it away, and meanwhile somebody else is sticking another card in the same deck while you're not looking, and you just never run out of cards. So what's occurring to me is that instead of looking for my attachments, which is how I started in May of 2014, right? What attachments do I have that come from my sight? What attachments do I have that come from my taste? Remember, I was doing that and finding a few attachments. Oh my goodness, that would have never been done. Never finished. And so what's happening now is I'm seeing I don't need to uncover and let go of all of my attachments. I need to see that that's not who I am. I'm not the one that has the attachments. That's the personality mind. The only thing I really need to do is to become clear on who I am, claim it, and abide as myself. See me as me. And the personality may still have attachments, but I'm not the personality. The personality may still have preferences, but the personality is an object I am watching, right? That's my inner movie. It's not what I am. So, again, quote 778 in the Seven Steps to Awakening says, "There is no other danger for him who knows but this wavering as to the self's real nature." Right? Forgetting who I am and again seeing myself as the personality. That's the only real danger. Sense arises delusion. Right? As soon as I forget who I am and see myself as the personality, I am deluded. And sense, selfish personality. So now that I'm deluded and I see myself as the personality, I am going to see myself through that self-centered filter. Sense comes bondage, and therefrom sorrow. Right? So it's kind of a spiral downward as I forget who I am and see myself as the personality again. Let me read the journal entry. "I do well to remain clear on the difference between the ego self, which pretends to be me, and what I am. And yet, I do not remain clear." I'm seeing that there's opportunity for improvement here. "And yet I do not remain clear on the difference between the ego self and what I am. While contemplating quote 777, I forgot. I began to look for my attachments. Does the true self have attachments? I know the self. I can abide as the self, instead of thinking I am the thought mind." And so I am going to move from that to 778B in the journal. Once again, let me read the quote that we are contemplating. "There is no other danger for him who knows but this wavering as to the self's real nature. Thence arises delusion, and thence selfish personality. Thence comes bondage, and therefrom sorrow." So here is the second journal entry while contemplating this. Quote, "If I forget the true self and fall into the belief that I am the mind, I trap myself in a narrow perspective. The narrow perspective is necessarily self-centered and selfish. Although self-centered and selfish thought promises the reward of happiness for me, happiness is not possible from a narrow self-centered perspective." And this is just the way the ego is. It's not that, you know, some egos are selfish and some egos are not selfish. All egos are selfish. And the reason egos are selfish is because they have a very limited perspective. They see things from their limited point of view. And as a result of having only that limited point of view to inform the ego, even the best of egos, whatever that means, even the best of egos are still self-centered and selfish. Right? Not just the ones that egos would call selfish. And that's just the way it is. And what's interesting about the self-centered ego and self-centered me, I am at the center of the self-centered. One thing that's really interesting about the self-centered ego is it is promising me happiness. That's what it does. If it didn't do that, I wouldn't listen to it. It's promising me happiness, safety, love. Guys, go. You still hear me? Because you disappeared for a second. Okay. You are back now for me. Can you still hear me? The whole screen, Pal Talk just disappeared. I think it disconnected itself. Are you able to hear me now? Yes. Okay, good. You disappeared. All right. So, as I was saying, what the ego is really promising is happiness or security or love. But again, it's saying in order for me to get that happiness, that security, or that love, everything has to be my way. Again, it's very self-centered and selfish. It's not broad and open by any stretch of the imagination. So that's what's happening in this particular journal entry, is I'm really, really looking at how the ego is naturally self-centered and selfish. And it's really, I think, helpful to look at that. At least in my perspective, when we really look at how self-centered and selfish the ego is, for me, I shouldn't speak for you. For me, it helps to increase that desire to let go of the ego. You know, I'm always reminded in my own mind of the quote from Nisargadatta Maharaj that says, you have to have a surfeit of being the person. You know, we've looked at that quote before, a surfeit. And we looked up the word surfeit. And that really kind of sick of it because you've had enough of it. Right? Sick of it because you've had enough of it. You have to have had a surfeit of being the person. And you've had a surfeit of being the person. You're sick of it because you've had enough of it. That helps increase your desire for awakening. And to me, looking at how selfish the person naturally is, the ego naturally is, and not pretending like it's generous or open or thinking about others or caring about others, noticing that it just is very, very selfish, that helps me to have a surfeit of being the person, right? So again, this journal entry, if I forget the true self and fall into the belief that I am the mind, I trap myself in a narrow perspective. The narrow perspective is necessarily self-centered and selfish. Although self-centered and selfish thought promises the reward of happiness for me, happiness is not possible from a narrow, self-centered perspective. And it can't be because it's narrow and self-centered. You know, it's going to automatically lead to conflict with other narrow, self-centered egos who have a different perspective of what will make them happy, right? So I'm going to move on to 778C. Again, we're looking at quote 778 from the Seven Steps to Awakening, and it says, there is no other danger for him who knows but this wavering as to the true self's real nature. Thence arises delusion, and thence selfish personality. Thence comes bondage, and therefrom sorrow. So quote 778C says, if I want to be happy, I must be free of the limited narrow perspective. Freedom comes from not falling into the pit of narrow thought that claims to be me. My practice now must be staying away from this pit, away from its slippery edges. I stand away best by abiding as the self. And every now and then, I mean, there's obviously my entire journal is filled with contemplation that I find helpful to my own journey of awakening. But every now and then I'll read something in my own journal that it feels like a new level of commitment for me. You know, I can read it years later, just like now we're sitting here in August of 2017, and I'm reading this from May 4, 2015. And I can see that a new level of commitment was being born. And, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but I do remember that I began a consistent awareness, watching awareness meditation in the month of May. And it may well have been May 2015. That sounds very, very possible. That would have been a little over 2.25 years ago. So that's probably when it started. And so what we're probably looking at here is that shift in commitment that allowed me to finally begin a regular practice of awareness, watching awareness. If I want to be happy, then I can be free of the narrow perspective, right? I saw somebody else grab the mic from my perspective. I was wondering if I was hallucinating there. Look out